Hello, and welcome to the LTC Properties, Inc. 2Q14 Analyst and Investor Call and Webcast. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. I'd like to remind everyone that today's comments, including the question and answer session, will include forward-looking statements. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties and may cause actual results to differ materially. These risks and uncertainties are detailed in LTC Property, Inc.'s filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including the company's 10-K, dated December 31, 2011. Please also note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Wendy Simpson, Chairman, CEO, and President. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. This morning, Pam Kessler, our CFO, will start our presentation with comments on our financial results for the second quarter of 2014. After Pam's comments, Clint Malin, our Chief Investment Officer, will talk about the performance of our portfolio, our pipeline, and the project of repositioning the assets currently leased to Enlivant and Extendicare. Pam?
Thank you, Wendy. Normalized FFO increased 17% this quarter to $22.5 million from $19.2 million in the second quarter of last year. Normalized fully diluted FFO per share was 64 cents this quarter compared to 57 cents a year ago. Revenues for the quarter increased 14% or $3.5 million year over year, primarily due to investments made in the second half of 2013 and completed development projects, partially offset by property disposals in 2013 and 2014. Interest expense increased $290,000 from the second quarter of last year due to increased borrowing under our line of credit and the sale of senior unsecured notes in 2013 to fund acquisitions. General and administrative expenses were $165,000 lower this quarter compared to a year ago due to the timing of certain marketing expenditures. During the quarter, we sold two assisted living communities with a total of 133 units and a school for a combined sales price of $7.9 million. We received total proceeds of $7.7 million and recognized a $1.1 million gain in conjunction with these transactions. During the quarter, we invested $14 million in properties under development and capital improvement projects at a weighted average yield of 8.7%. Capitalized interest for the quarter was $435,000. We currently have $47 million outstanding and $193 million available under our line of credit. In July, we locked rate on the remaining $30 million available under our shelf agreement with Prudential. The senior unsecured notes will bear interest at 4.5% and have a 12-year maturity. This transaction is expected to close later this month. At the end of the quarter, our investment-grade credit metrics remained one of the best in the healthcare REIT universe, with debt to trailing 12 months normalized EBITDA of 2.9 times, a normalized trailing 12 months fixed charge coverage ratio of 6.3, and a debt to enterprise value of just under 18%. I'll now turn the call over to Clint.
Thank you, Pam. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. First, I will provide an update on our re-leasing initiative for our portfolio of 37 assisted living communities, co-leased to an affiliate of Extendicare and Enlivant. The two master leases on this portfolio properties expire on December 31st of this year. With the exception of 15 properties located in the Pacific Northwest, which have been the most occupancy challenged in this portfolio, we have made operator selections to lease the remaining 22 properties. These 22 properties will be leased on a regional basis to four operating companies, two of which are existing LTC relationships, and the other two will be new to our operator base. Site visits to these 22 properties have been completed by the operators, and leases are being negotiated. Given the occupancy challenges in the Pacific Northwest, we have decided to pursue a two-pronged approach of releasing the properties, as well as considering a sale of the properties. With the lower occupancies in the Northwest, maximizing rental income for LTC in a lease will come from the participation in revenue increases at the communities over time. Although we believe the reasons for the occupancy challenges at these properties are not building or market specific, relying upon revenue growth at the communities to achieve higher rent for LTC is not without risk. Therefore, we believe the exploration of asset sales to recycle capital on these assets is a prudent consideration for LTC to evaluate. We have received multiple indications of interest to purchase the properties and are evaluating these proposals in comparison to the lease proposals, and will make a decision shortly as to which direction to proceed. Although it is possible to transition the communities to new operators before year-end, most likely the new leases or asset sales, if applicable, will be effective January 1, 2015. Turning to the portfolio, lease coverage for the trailing 12-month period ended first quarter 2014 remains strong and consistent. I caveat that the following coverage metrics are derived from unaudited financial statements provided to us by our operators and reported one quarter in arrears. For our skilled nursing portfolio, EBITDARM coverage is 2.29 times, and our assisted living portfolio, excluding the properties leased to Extended Care and Enlivant, is 1.64 times and 1.4 times, including these properties. EBITDAR coverage, including an allocated management fee of 5% of revenues, is 1.69 times for skilled nursing and 1.4 times for assisted living, excluding Extended Care and Enlivant, and 1.18 times, including them. Compared to the previous quarter, occupancy has remained consistent across all property types. Occupancy for the trailing 12-month period ended first quarter 2014 is as follows. Assisted living, excluding the Extended Care and Enlivant portfolio, is 89.2%, and including these properties, it's 80.4%. Skilled nursing is 79.9%, and range of care is 83.6%. Our quality mix remains strong, with almost 60% of our underlying rental revenue coming from private pay sources. Also, we continue to have success with our development program and anticipate three new development projects will open before year-end. Our pipeline remains strong at approximately $600 million, which includes sale-leaseback and development opportunities, as well as expansion and replacement projects within our portfolio. Currently, we see more opportunity relating to seniors housing as opposed to skilled nursing. Although we have a strong pipeline, which includes off-market transactions, we continue to see significant competition for assets in today's market, especially on fully marketed seniors housing deals, which continues to drive asset pricing. As Wendy mentioned on our previous earnings call, we plan to use our strong balance sheet to make accretive investments while interest rates remain low. However, we continue to exercise discipline, remain prudent in our underwriting, and focus on off-market relationship-driven transactions. To provide some color on our pipeline, we have two fully executed letters of intent for two memory care development projects. One of the projects was sourced from our exclusive development pipeline agreement with Anthem Memory Care, which, if we are able to successfully acquire the land site, will be our fifth development project together. The other development project will be the start of a new operative relationship, and in addition to standard due diligence, remains subject to execution of a development pipeline agreement, which is close to finalization. Also, we have two fully executed letters of intent to acquire a total of five seniors housing communities, which, if we're able to successfully acquire the properties, will be leased to two operators within our portfolio. These five assets are all subject to low-rate HUD debt that will be assumed by LTC. Therefore, closing might extend into early 2015, but our goal is to close by the end of this year, if possible. The deal subject to these four LOIs represent approximately $85 million of investment opportunity for LTC, with yields ranging from 6.75% to 7% on the sale-leaseback transactions and 8.75% to 9% on the development projects. Although we have executed letters of intent on these four transactions, I must caution that these deals remain subject to due diligence and therefore may not be converted to closed investments. Now I'll turn the call to Wendy for her comments.
Thanks, Clint and Pam. The last time we talked, I mentioned that I felt that interest rates would be low for a while and we would definitely do investments using our leveraging ability, and Clint commented on that. I still believe that. While we have not yet done sale leasebacks this year, we have invested approximately $27.5 million in projects under development and capital improvements. When you have a chance to look at our supplemental information, you'll see that on page 7 we show that we have an additional $19.3 million remaining to spend projected in 2014 on development and capital improvements. The rates at which LTC will collect rental revenue on these investments range from 9.25% for new development to 7% for small projects related to improving and updating certain existing assets. We locked in a very attractive spread on the first on the first $30 million of these investments by drawing down the remainder of our prudential shelf at a 4.5% rate. This makes more of our unsecured line available to make additional accretive investments. With the exception of the LOIs Clint mentioned, we have not found additional sale-leaseback transactions in 2014 that meet our underwriting guidelines and are priced at a level that will benefit the shareholders of LTC, except for adding assets and debt to the balance sheet. They're not accretive. We continue to be able to work with our customers for development deals and look forward to announcing additional deals, but we are leery of the inflated prices we see in the market for certain assets. As Clint mentioned, our pipeline is strong, and we still anticipate being able to complete some sale-leaseback transactions in 2014, as well as begin at least two additional development projects, and look forward to announcing them as soon as possible. The new prudential debt, assuming no other changes, would be about a penny dilutive this year. But at this time, I'm not changing our guidance, which for 2014 is FFO between $2.56 and $2.58. I'll open the call now for questions, and I'm sure some of you on the phone have heard yada, yada, yada number, yada, yada, yada number. When am I going to get a number specifically for Enlivant? So we are not going to be able to say anything more specific about our negotiations Enlivant properties. We can answer, you know, general questions about how the process is going and that sort of thing, but we are now down to the very detail of negotiating these things, and we are not going to be giving specifics on this call. I can assure you that as soon as we know what the numbers are, we will have a press release and let everybody know what the numbers are, but we don't know that at this moment. So please, any questions, operator?
Yes, thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. If at any time your question has been addressed and you'd like to withdraw it, please press star then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And the first question comes from Paul Morgan with MLB.
Hi, good morning. I don't know if this falls under the category of stuff you can't comment on, but with respect to Enlivant, you know, maybe just a couple of things. One, specifically, do you have a breakout of the book value and the share of rent that's in the Pacific Northwest component from the 15 properties?
Well, we don't allocate it. This is Clint. We don't allocate it because of the master lease, but, I mean, you can derive that calculation by looking at the number of units or properties to get on the existing rents.
Okay. Are there any, just more anecdotally then, were there any takeaways from the operator tours specific to the portfolio that you could share, or places where, you know, specific there might be upside? I mean, you obviously said that, you know, we know where the challenges are, but any other color from all the operator tours that took place recently?
Basically, all of the operator tours, Clint has been on some, I've been on some. They're very pleased with the state of the buildings physically. They see additional upside, of course. One of the issues in the Pacific Northwest probably is still relative, that Enlivant still does not allow Medicaid admissions. So that possibility of additional occupancy is shortstopped by the fact that they still don't allow their administrators to take admissions for Medicaid or potentially converting into Medicaid. So of the operators that had met made the ability to go out and see the properties, everybody was very encouraged. Of course, there's, you know, we'd like a little money for, you know, new furniture or things like that, and we are, you know, accumulating those numbers because Enlivant is supposed to be returning these buildings in the state in which they got them, so we'll be talking to them about CapEx requirements. But generally, it all went well.
Great. And then as you weigh selling versus releasing the Pacific Northwest, I mean, how important is it in your mind the having a use of proceeds and the timing of being able to put the money back to work, or are you really evaluating it independent of uses of proceeds?
Oh, no, we'd have to consider use of proceeds, considering that, you know, we have very little debt. So it would definitely make a difference to us, use of proceeds. But, you know, we want to get this done. We want to get some surety to our shareholders, and, you know, we're working towards that.
Okay, great. And then just last question for me. At your Investor Day, you talked about some portfolios in senior housing that were kind of in your sweet spot in the $100 million, you know, to $200 million range, and that some of those were in your pipeline. You didn't mention that specifically now, except for maybe referring to pricing. I mean, are they still there of that size, or are you much more focused on off-market deals because of where pricing of kind of portfolios are?
Well, this is Clint. We've had the opportunity to look at some of those size transactions, and pricing and competition make those a little bit of a challenge. So we have tried to focus more on the off-market transactions or deals of a little bit smaller size.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Michael Carroll with RBC Capital Markets.
Thanks. Hey, Clint, can you give us some color how occupancy has trended at the Pacific Northwest Enlivant properties?
Sure. The occupancy has trended down on a quarter-by-quarter basis, and I think that's not to be unexpected in this type of situation. Nothing specifically against Enlivant, but as they have a new investor in their organization, and they have assets that they're focusing on turning around, that I don't think that that probably has caused a little bit of a decline in the occupancy. One thing when Wendy and I were out touring properties just in general is there are some newer executive directors at the community, so the consistency of the leadership could be a function of some of the decline in the occupancies. Also, we've identified that Enlivant has been charging a community-based fee that maybe not have been assessed in the past, and that could be impacting some of the occupancy and move-ins as well. But one of the positive things that we're seeing is that the rates are trending up. When you look at the current, second quarter compared to the end of 2013, we've seen an uptick in rates across, not just the Northwest, but across the board of about 3.5% on rates. So we're seeing a positive trending on rates.
Is the Pacific Northwest, I guess, different from the other properties within that lease? Is that weaker than the other ones, the occupancy trend?
It is, yes.
Is there a reason why the Pacific Northwest is weaker? Is it something with the properties, the market, or is it just the turnover at the property level?
I think it refers back to a comment that Wendy made about Medicaid missions. If you go back and look historically, and we have information, back probably in 2006, 2007 timeframe, these properties in the Northwest were probably accepting around 50% Medicaid, which today is zero. So I think that represents, again, this, when assisted living concepts was born, it was based on that affordability model and having some Medicaid occupancy, and some of the markets these are in are cater more to that. So I think as you we bring on additional operators, that willingness to accept some percentage of Medicaid waiver will definitely have an impact on occupancies at the Northwest communities.
Do they accept Medicaid at the other properties, or is it they just haven't done the change?
The state only property in our portfolio that accepts Medicaid is New Jersey, and I think at the state requirement in New Jersey, but it's only one property. So across the board, outside of state requirements, there are no other Medicaid residents in any of the 37 except the one in New Jersey.
Okay, then how confident are the prospective tenants or buyers that they will be able to stabilize these assets?
Well, I think just by the interest that people are looking at it, I mean, they see it as an opportunity. So by the fact that people are motivated and looking at this, I think it represents that they see opportunity to be able to utilize their reputation. The companies we're talking to that have experience operating in the Northwest, to rely upon their reputations and knowledge in the industry to drive occupancies, plus just the admission of Medicaid residents will help drive that occupancy.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Karen Ford with KeyBanc Capital Markets.
Wendy, just curious, why do you think it is that you haven't seen a lot of skilled nursing product that's meeting your investment criteria recently, and has there been a big change in pricing there?
There seems to be a big change in pricing in some of the big packages. You know, down in the maybe 7 cap rates, we hear rumor of a package that might be sub-7 cap rates, but that's rumor. And so, you know, we're just, unless it's a brand new facility with a lot of upside or a lot of private pay or something like that, but a traditional SNF, even though it might be in the 1990s built or even the 2000s, I still, even though I'm willing to lever up much more than I was in the past, I'm still a little leery about SNF assets in the 7 cap range.
Absolutely. And I think also, Karen, you know, our pipeline, I mean, obviously we vet transactions going into the pipeline, and we have seen skilled nursing opportunities to look at, but again, they just not met our investment criteria, so we've passed on those transactions. So we're seeing some of that, but just the quality and of the assets is not what we're looking at bringing into the portfolio. So just happens to be at the current time, there's been more opportunities on the seniors housing side.
Got it. Thanks. It looked like a few of the developments in your pipeline, I think 3 of them, saw a delay in when they're going to be paying you rent this year. Can you just talk about what's the cause for the delay and if it's going to have any impact on FFO this year?
Sure. These were primarily they're all expansion and renovation projects, not new development. And they're smaller projects. The one in Colorado was weather-related, and the other ones were just a change in scope of the minor changes in scope that pushed them out. So really no, nothing substantive or significant on those.
Okay. And then last question is just on the guidance. I know you said the debt refinancing is going to be about a penny, but you're not changing the range. Was there something on the positive side that's offsetting the penny, or do you just feel like you're trending sort of to the lower end of the range today?
Yeah, we're trending probably to the lower end of the range.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Daniel Bernstein with Stifel.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Dan.
I promise I'll ask one question on Enlivant. Just one.
Dan, you can ask as many.
Just one. And it won't be about what rates you're going to get on the leases. When you talk about getting upside, from those 15 properties in the future, are you thinking RIDEA structure, or are you thinking some mechanisms to reset the leases down the road?
Right.
Go ahead.
Dan, it's Clint. It would be probably a rent participation based on as revenues grow over time at the property. So we're not looking at RIDEA at this time, no.
No, we're looking at almost any structure except RIDEA.
Okay.
RIDEA is not something that we're running right at the moment.
Okay. All right. So I'll move away from Enlivant and ask you something more relevant to the rest of the business. So in the SNF pipeline and pipeline for acquisitions, are you seeing new entrants into new competition for the assets? I mean, what do you think is driving the cap rates lower? Is it just entrance rates, or are there actually new entrants interested in skilled nursing? And then secondly, when you do off-market transactions, are some of those sellers trying to use the quotes, the transaction pricing to try to drive down cap rates on the non-marketed off-market transactions?
Sure. Well, I think interest rates obviously have definitely a component to do with that. Private equity. We definitely see more private equity investors, and I think that's just the stability of the industry. And that's probably more so on the private pay seniors housing side, which I think speaks to the overall industry as a whole and its stability. So you're seeing people looking at getting into industry. Still, the non-traded REITs that we've seen be active as well. So I think private equity would be the biggest competition that we're seeing for assets. On the skilled side, I think that you're just seeing, as far as probably there's not as many transactions we're seeing on that, but still very competitive, whether it's non-traded or publicly traded. If quality assets will command a price, and I think there's a lot of capital interested in those type of assets.
Okay. And then, you know, in the past, you've looked at maybe some LTACs or IRFs, and the cap rates on those assets have come down a little bit, but are still probably at yields that are better than skilled nursing and seniors housing. Are you looking at any LTACs or IRF assets or hospital assets in the pipeline?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up question from Karen Ford with KeyBanc Capital Markets.
Hi. Wendy, how high are you willing to take leverage up to today?
We're still about the 30-70. You know, if we get to 30, we'll probably look at doing some equity. So if we're at 38, you know, it'll definitely be equity time. But we still have $200 million to go before we be at 30. Mm-hmm. So we have plenty of debt capacity right at the moment. And we'll be working with the Prudential to put in a new shelf because we found that product is very, very beneficial to us in being able to, you know, take down 30, 50, whatever we need at a time and pretty quickly because they've done their underwriting. So Pam has a very full fall reloading our bank line and our shelf with Prudential.
That's helpful. And do you still think that once you get the Enlivant releasing done that you'll be back to looking at possibly getting rated and doing unsecured debt?
Yes. We do believe that is our goal.
Great.
And
thank you.
I think we're very close. But thank you, Karen.
Thanks.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question or offer a comment, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone. All right. As there is nothing more at the present time, I would like to turn the call back over to management for any closing comments.
No, but thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you, Keith. And again, we will give you the details on the Enlivant transaction as soon as we have details. Thank you very much for your patience and your attention.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.